The Apostle Paul gives us practical instructions on living wisely in a dark world. He warns us to not be deceived and urges us to walk wisely. Paul highlights three qualities of a wise, discerning life: making the best use of time, understanding God's will, and being filled with the Spirit. Today on the Wisdom Journey, Stephen will teach you more about this and show you how it applies to your life and relationships. Here's Stephen Davey.
By now, most people seem to be aware of the danger of being deceived through some internet or telephone scam. Still, I read often how many people are scammed every single year. In fact, if you can believe it, more than $50 billion are lost every year by people who've been fooled by someone pretending to work for an insurance company or a government agency, even pretending to work for the Internal Revenue Service. Now, many people who fall victim are actually educated, hardworking, intelligent people. Well, let me tell you, beloved, being intelligent isn't the same thing as being wise and discerning. Wisdom, by the way, could be defined this way. It's the ability to discern between good and bad, between right and wrong. And this kind of wisdom and discernment comes from learning and applying God's word to our everyday lives. Well, now as we set sail back into Ephesians chapter 5, the Apostle Paul gives us some very practical instruction here. He's concerned about us being deceived in life, not just by scammers, but by Satan and the temptation to sin. He writes, we're now here at verse 15, these words of warning. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Now, Paul is going to go on and describe some of the qualities of a wise, discerning Christian life. He writes here in verse 16 that it involves making the best use of our time. You know, we can avoid being deceived by our world by being diligent to serve, to honor the Lord. Verse 17 gives us another quality of wise living, decision-making, understanding, Paul writes, what the will of the Lord is. Well, just think about it. How often we could avoid being deceived by sin, sinful people, if we simply sought every day to do the will of God. Now, Paul is referring here to what God has already revealed to us in his word, not some mystery we have to somehow find. Let me tell you, when you're obeying God's revealed will, here's the point, you're going to make wise decisions in life. Now, in verse 18, Paul adds a third quality of a wise life. It's being filled with the Spirit. Paul writes, do not get drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, here's his analogy. When you're under the influence of wine, it affects the way you walk, the way you talk, the way you think. In the same way, when you're under the influence of the Holy Spirit, well, he affects the way you walk and you talk and you think. Well, now Paul uses the present tense of this verb, be filled with the Spirit. And that indicates this domination. You could translate it, be under the control of the Spirit. That's a continuing daily experience. He's not talking about some kind of spiritual experience on Sunday. He's talking about a continual experience on Monday and every day of the week. So when you're filled by the Spirit, which means daily you are under his influence, well, there are several evidences of this in your life. Paul gives us the first one here in verse 19. He says, we will be addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with our heart. That's another way of saying we're going to enjoy genuine, heartfelt worship with others in the assembly, that is, the church. Another evidence of being under the influence of the Holy Spirit, verse 20, is a grateful heart. He writes, giving thanks always. Now, this might sound blunt to you, but let me just say that if you're not a thankful person, something in your life is not yet under the influence of the Spirit of God. Now, finally, verse 21, those who are Spirit-filled, Paul writes, will be submitting to one another. In other words, we're going to submit to those in authority over us. When we're controlled by the Spirit, we're seeking to serve others rather than to dominate others and exalt ourselves. Now, Paul applies this principle of submission to various relationships, and he begins right away with marriage here in verse 22. Paul writes, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. As the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." Now, you know just as well as I do that people today think this biblical concept of wives submitting to their husbands is rather out of date. They think it sounds demeaning to women. Well, let me tell you, the Bible nowhere suggests the husband is superior to his wife in any way. In fact, the wife may be more intelligent. She may be more discerning. Paul isn't talking about essence here. He's talking about function. You know that policeman who stops me? Well, he doesn't tell me to step out of my truck or slow down on the roadway just because he's a better person than I am. He just happens to have a role of authority, well, that I don't have. Now, don't assume this passage means a man can boss his way around the house without any love, without any compassion, far from it. You might notice the husband's pattern here. Let me read it again in verse 23. "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." Well, how does Jesus treat you? Well, just as he shepherds his church, so the husband is to shepherd his wife, his family, and the wife respectfully submits to or follows her husband. The word submit means to line one's self up under. It's actually a military term. It's used here to refer to God's design for authority, God's arrangement. Now Paul writes here in verse 25 that the husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So obviously his leadership then isn't going to be overbearing or unreasonable. It's going to be marked by Christ-like love that seeks what's best for his wife. In 40 years of pastoring, I've never once had a woman tell me that she was upset because her husband wanted to be a spiritual leader in their marriage and home. I've never once had a woman tell me she just couldn't follow her husband because he just wanted to be a spiritual leader. No, I can tell you this. I've heard many times from women their frustration because their husbands refused to be spiritual leaders, refused to shepherd her and their children as Christ shepherds his church, and how she wishes he would. Well, Paul summarizes here in verse 33, "Let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Beloved, if all the couples in the church today followed this simple, wise formula, marriage counselors would go out of business. Well, with that, we come to chapter 6, and Paul addresses the relationship between children and parents. He writes here in verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Again, this is God's created order of authority. Children actually honor the Lord by honoring their mom and dad. Now, once again, fathers are specifically challenged here. They're told in verse 4, "Do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." In other words, discipline is intended to lead our children to love and obey the Lord. By the way, there's a vast difference between breaking a child's stubborn will and breaking a child's spirit. A child's spirit is broken when unreasonable demands, when unloving criticism is all they ever hear. Rules should never be without a loving relationship. In fact, beloved, rules without a relationship often produce rebellion. Finally, here in verses 5 through verse 9, Paul refers to the relationship between slaves and masters. Now, much of the slavery in the Roman Empire was temporary. It was what we would call today indentured servanthood. Paul doesn't really address the institution itself. He addresses how the Christians ought to treat each other. And let me tell you, in so doing, he actually plants the seed that unites slaves and masters in the same local church and lays the groundwork for mutual respect and individual freedom. Paul's words to slaves in verse 5 would apply to employees today. We should, he writes, obey earthly masters, supervisors. And not just because they're supervisors and they're watching us, but because Jesus is watching us and will honor us when we put in an honest day's work. Now, in all of these relationships Paul has addressed here, he's basically described what it looks like when we all live daily under the influence of the Holy Spirit. This is how it's going to operate day to day. Well, what do you say we live like this today? Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, the president of Wisdom International, and this is the Wisdom Journey. I hope Paul's practical instructions in Ephesians have helped you today. Make it your priority to live wisely and under the influence of the Holy Spirit. To learn more about us, visit our website at wisdomonline.org. There you can access the complete library of Stephen's Bible teaching ministry. We post each day's broadcast, so if you ever miss a lesson, you can catch up on our daily teachings right on the homepage. You can also navigate to previous broadcasts if you want to revisit past lessons. Stephen has been teaching the Bible for over 4 decades and has preached hundreds of sermons, all of which are available on our website. You'll find this collection organized by Book of the Bible. If there's a particular book you want to study, and if Stephen has preached on it, you can listen to or read each message. All of this content is available to you free of charge, anytime, at wisdomonline.org. Visit there today. And remember, we have a new lesson for you each weekday. So join us again next time to continue traveling along the wisdom journey. See you then.